14, look at one verse this evening about wisdom and the property of wisdom. Four things about wisdom here in this verse. Proverbs 8:14. Just one verse. So wisdom says this in Proverbs 8:14. It says, "Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength." So all of those things are descriptions of wisdom's possessions and really some things of what wisdom is. But those four things, counsel is a possession of wisdom. Wisdom owns counsel. Sound wisdom as opposed to worldly wisdom. And then wisdom is understanding, and wisdom has strength. There's a form of strength in wisdom, and it's in more detail later on in Proverbs. But I'm going to talk about those four briefly, give some couple illustrations on each of them. But let's pray, and we'll talk about this verse and the property of wisdom here. But let's pray. Father, I thank you for these words. I thank you for each soul that's here this evening. I pray that be helpful, be encouraging. And for those that are sick, I pray that you'd heal up their bodies. I know there's several that are sick. And then I pray for Beth and Jeff as they travel tomorrow early morning, going up to Houston for a couple funerals. Pray that you'd get them up there safely and back safely. And then I noticed, just thinking about this week, several folks praying about job decisions. And so I pray that you'd give those folks wisdom about job decisions. I know there's several on the list for sure, and maybe more, but lots of folks considering things about their jobs, and I pray you'd help them with that. And help us tonight, because we need your help. Help us be encouraged and be enlightened by what we're reading and thinking about. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so wisdom is necessary for life. It's necessary for leadership. It's necessary for just living. And in this verse, there's four things that wisdom describes herself as having or as being. And so we're going to take these one by one and just make a little illustration with them and describe them. And so just we'll jump right into it. I think about Solomon. When Solomon was given basically a blank check by God, you know, that I think it's 1 Kings chapter 3, he's given a blank check by God, and he says, he asked for an understanding heart so that he can understand how to judge the people, because he says, "I'm just a child. I don't know how to discern matters. I don't know how to discern good from bad." And there's just so many deceitful things that enter in, and these elements that confuse the matters. And so I just need discernment. I need understanding. I need wisdom to lead this people. And so the Lord was happy with that request and gave him wisdom. And so Proverbs, he writes many of these Proverbs with this wisdom, and here's one of them. So first thing wisdom says that she has, she says, "Counsel is mine." Counsel is mine. The role of counsel, it's to give advice or an opinion, an instruction for directing the judgment or conduct of another. So to be able to instruct and provide good directions for judgment, to discern judgment and to direct the conduct of somebody. You know, they're looking for advice, and wisdom says, "Counsel is mine. It belongs to me." It got me thinking about this. It was on my mind. I'd seen this couple of weeks ago, I don't know if you guys saw it, but it was kind of going around Facebook, but it was an illustration that David Gibbs had given, and he was talking about the time when he was flying. I forget where he was flying, but the pilot he was with passed out, and so he was forced to fly the plane. Anyway, did y'all hear this thing? Have y'all heard this? Some of y'all have. Okay. Well, I'll tell this for those, the sake of those that hadn't. So, Brother David Gibbs, he was, I don't know how many years ago this was, but he tells this story of basically getting ready to fly home, and one of these friends of friends, brother in Christ, says he has a plane and he can fly a plane, and he says, "No, man, you got to come on my plane and I'll take you where you need to go," and Brother Gibbs is like, "No, we're just going to go, you know, go home and fly the commercial way and all that kind of stuff." And the guy's pretty insistent, so David Gibbs and somebody else, they get on this guy's plane, and he takes off, and they're flying, and they hadn't been up in the air very long, and there's clouds all over the place. And he says, I forgot to tell you, he says, "When I fly through clouds, I pass out." And so they go through these clouds, and this guy just passes out. And he's the pilot, he passes out. And so Brother Gibbs and this other guy get on the radio, and they start talking, and they don't know the lingo. You know, they don't know what to say. They're just like, "We need help. We don't know what we're doing." And somebody gets on the radio, this pilot, and says, "Hey, I hear y'all. I'm going to connect you with somebody, and we'll take care of you," and all that kind of stuff. And so he connects them with the tower somewhere, and the first thing that the man on the tower says, he says, just follow my directions, and I will get you landed safely. Just follow my directions." And so Brother Gibbs he doesn't know what he's looking at. He's just sitting in this plane with this passed out pilot, and the tower is talking. They're talking back and forth, and I'm shortening the thing down. But anyhow, a few things that are said, like the tower says, the man in the voice, he keeps calling it the voice in the tower. He says, I can see you, but you can't see me, because they've located the plane on the radar, and Brother Gibbs can't see. He's just like sitting here and trying to follow directions. And so the voice is just telling him, just do exactly what I say. Just do exactly what I say, and I will get you home safely. Just do exactly what I say. And so he's following the directions. He gets to a point, finally, where he can land the plane. And he says he must have bounced off the runway a couple times trying to land it. And so but he makes it safely. He and the other friend with him make it. They land the plane safely, and about the time that they land the plane, of course, the pilot wakes up. It's just crazy. But the whole story is such a perfect illustration of God's counsel, where the tower, he says, "I can see you, but you can't see me. And if you'll just listen to my voice, I will get you home safely. Just do exactly what I'm telling you to do, and I will get you home safely." And so in following those instructions, he ends up landing the plane, and he said they got him in a hotel that night, and he said about 4 o'clock in the morning, he hears this knocking on the door, and he goes and opens the door, and the guy says, "David Gibbs," and he says, "You're the voice. You're the one." And it's such a perfect illustration of the voice of the Lord. It's like one day you will meet the voice that said, "Just follow my directions, and I will get you home safely. That's counsel. That's what counsel is. Counsel is instruction for directing the judgment or conduct of another. And so wisdom says, counsel is mine. It's mine. Second thing wisdom says, and it's a really good, if you find it on, it's moving through Facebook and it's got nice music to it and all that kind of stuff, so it's a lot better than I just told the story, but it's a pretty compelling illustration. But it's a great illustration of counsel. Second thing wisdom says is, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. Sound wisdom as opposed to, because there are multiple kinds of wisdom, as opposed to worldly wisdom, satanic wisdom. I'll give you a verse to cross-reference this, that sound wisdom versus other forms of wisdom. Look in James chapter 3 to give you a cross-reference to this. James chapter 3, when it comes to various kinds of wisdom, the Bible says sound wisdom is laid up for the righteous, and sound wisdom makes righteous judgments as opposed to judgments based on appearance or emotions or other things. It makes righteous judgments. So here's sound wisdom versus worldly wisdom. James chapter 3, verse 13. Here's the contrast. It says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So the wise man, that's interesting. The wise man is the one that behaves correctly. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. So there's a different kind of wisdom. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, and gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Clearly, two different kinds of wisdom. You've got a worldly wisdom that's just, he says it's earthly, it's sensual, it's based on the senses, and it's devilish. And then you have a godly wisdom that is pure and peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated and full of mercy. And that's sound wisdom. That's sound wisdom. That's what's being talked about in Proverbs 8:14. It's sound wisdom as opposed to worldly wisdom. And so there are different types of wisdom. And so you got a pretty good distinction there in James. And that's why in Proverbs makes that little description there, sound wisdom, sound wisdom. The third thing is this. She says, counsel is mine, back over in Proverbs. Counsel is mine, sound wisdom. And then she says, I am understanding. I am understanding. So wisdom is understanding. So what is understanding? Understanding would be the ability to apprehend the real state of things, which is absolutely necessary. To understand the real state of things, or what things really are. Daniel is a man of great understanding. In fact, I think it's 10 times in the book of Daniel, he's mentioned as by the Holy Spirit as a man of understanding. So he's able to sort through all of the confusion and sort through all of the elements that aren't necessary. You guys remember those tests in school where they give you like this information, and then you know, maybe it's like a math question, and it says, you know, there's some element or few elements in there that just aren't necessary to the answer. Like, Joe has 5 apples, Joe sells 3 apples, Joe also has 5 oranges. How many apples does Joe have left? And you're kind of like, what are the oranges? Well, they're not important to the question. The point is, there's these elements in those kinds of questions, but there's elements in life where if you're trying to figure out what's important and what's not important, there's all kinds of information that's going around that's just either not important or not relevant to what needs to be processed. And so understanding is the ability to understand the real state of this thing, and sometimes that stuff is muddied by emotions. Sometimes it's muddied by lies, just direct lies. But trying to figure out what is really going on. Is this guilt talking? Is this pride talking? Or what is actually happening here? And wisdom is understanding. The great example of understanding, one of the great examples of understanding in the Bible is this one. Look in 1 Kings chapter 3. It's where Solomon gets his wisdom, and then this is a famous story. Great story of understanding and how to get to the bottom of a matter pretty quick. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. Some of y'all know this story, but this is a great illustration of understanding. You get to the real state of things. What am I really looking at here? What is real and what is not real here? Solomon, he's presented with this problem. 1 Kings 3:16. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. The one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. When I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. You can just hear it. I mean, it's just crazy. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And so here's that's the problem. What am I looking at here? What's real? Someone is lying, and I don't know who's lying. How do I get to the real state of the matter? So here's what Solomon says, verse 24. Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other. Wow, that ain't going to work, but it does work. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. Wow. That's understanding. That's how you get to the root of the matter. So Solomon draws out the motherhood of the mother and finds out, okay, this is the real mother. This is obviously not the mother. And so take the living child and give it to his mother. So it's understanding. Wisdom is understanding to apprehend the real state of things, absolutely necessary in life. Trying to figure out the real state. What am I looking at? What is real? What's a lie? What's deceit? What are we talking about? Trying to get to the root of the matter. And then this one. Last is this one. Back over in Proverbs chapter 8. So wisdom says, Counsel is mine, sound wisdom, I am understanding. And then she says, I have strength. So strength is not always muscles. And I'd say wisdom beats muscles almost any day of the week. I'm not going to preach the whole thing on this, but there's an illustration, a great illustration at the end of Proverbs about strength in wisdom. And it goes through, and Solomon or whoever wrote that particular proverb over there in Proverbs chapter 30 said that he gives four different creatures, and he defines them. In fact, we'll just look at it. Look in Proverbs chapter 30. I'll just give these to you quick. Wisdom has strength. Strength is simply the ability to do a work. And Proverbs says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small, meaning if the adverse situation renders you unable to complete the task, then you just lack strength. Strength is it's not only accomplished by power or force. In fact, there's more strength in wisdom. Solomon said it in Ecclesiastes. He said, wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. A wise person can divert and defend a city more than 10 mighty men. So here's the examples given at the end of Proverbs about wisdom being in strength, or wisdom being a form of strength. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 24. And I'll just name them off. I'm not going to preach all of them. I've preached through these before. But Proverbs 30, 24. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. Just a little participation here. What is the wisdom of the ants then? They store up. They prepare. So they don't have to expend their strength and wouldn't be able to in the wintertime. And so their wisdom, their strength is the fact that they prepare. They know how to prepare. So there's wisdom, that is a form of strength. That preparation is a form of strength. Number two, here's the second one. The conies are but a feeble folk. The rabbits, yeah. Yet make they their houses in the rocks. So what is wise about that? Security, yeah. They know how to protect themselves. They have a good assessment of their weaknesses. And so they know how to protect themselves, so they make their homes in rocks, so they can defend themselves, or so they can hide from predators. So there's wisdom in preparation, there's wisdom in protection, and recognizing weaknesses that's a big thing, that's necessary. And then number three here, verse 27: the locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. Maybe a little more complicated, but what is the strength there? Do what? Harmony, unity, what'd you say, Shirley? Safety in numbers. They all know how they fit into the group. They know how to be a part of the group. And so they don't have anyone telling them what to do necessarily. They know how to be a part of the group, and they know how to work with the group, and they know what place they have. And so they're not necessarily strong with muscles, but they're very wise. And in that wisdom, they have strength. They have strength in the wisdom. And in verse 28, the spider taketh hold with her hands as in kings' palaces. That may be a little bit tougher too, but she says they take hold with their hands. They make their homes anywhere. In palaces, that's a pretty good thing. So there's perseverance. There is the ability to find a way to get into places that you would just never expect. You know, a palace is a place for kings. A palace is a place for royalty, and then you find spiders in the palaces, and then it's like, how did they get here? But that's wisdom. There's strength in that wisdom. It's not necessarily that any of these creatures are very, very strong or muscular. Ants aren't. The rabbits aren't. The locusts aren't. The spiders aren't. But they're very wise creatures, and in their wisdom, they have strength, the preparation, the protection, the knowing your place, and the unity, and the fitting in where they need to fit in, and the surrounding themselves with the people they need to surround themselves with, and the perseverance of the spider, and all those things. So wisdom says over there in chapter 8 and verse 14, she says, I have strength. And her strength is actually stronger than if you were to go to the gym and lift weights. She can figure things out about life. And so these things all belong to wisdom. Counsel, sound wisdom, understanding. I am understanding. I have strength. And so over and over, the key thing is get wisdom. So much of life boils down to getting wisdom and applying wisdom. So I hope that's helpful. Let's pray, and then we'll take some prayer requests. Father, I pray it's been helpful going through these, dealing with the property of wisdom and the possessions of wisdom and what wisdom is. I pray we could make the applications where they need to be made, and Lord, that we'd be encouraged what we're reading. It's good to be together, good to be able to open our Bibles, sing together, and pray together. And I pray we'd be helped by this evening, and helped by you. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.